Even if we concede that the statute serves some of these brand promotion purposes which the petitioners argue, they say that the statute will guarantee higher prices in California and thereby allow the franchise wholesalers to advertise the brands more, and that will strengthen interbrand competition.
Serves precisely the same purpose as a resale price maintenance scheme serves, effectively, too.
I think that's the purpose that the distillers would attempt to serve with the statute. They would attempt to eliminate the discounters. That's probably why the statute was passed in the first place, and because it's clear that the respondents were the discounters in the market. And they sell this liquor. The difference at the retail level is about $1 a bottle. And that liquor would stay out, and there wouldn't be any price. There would be much less price competition if this statute were enforced. But I wanted to say, Mr. Justice Stevens, that even if we concede that the statute has all of these brand promotional purposes, that it will help the distillers to finance more advertising in California, the state of California has absolutely no regulatory interest in that. The interest of the state, as found by the court below, was the promotion of temperance. The state does not have an interest in more advertising of liquor that will increase consumption. Now, if the court does not agree with me that the statute is inconsistent with the Sherman Act, but believes that the statute is unfair in its operation, I would commend to the court the other grounds on which this statute was attacked below. First, that it violates due process of law. This statute, in essence, sets up a second tier of licensing over and above that of the state. You must not only have a state's license to import liquor, you must also get a license from private parties. In effect, the statute gives private parties a virtual veto over the state's licensing process. Now, the statute does so with no due process. There's obviously no due process in this statute. The statute provides no standards or criteria for its own administration. It provides for no review or appeal to the state from an aggrieved importer who has refused designation. It's quite obvious that the state will totally unsupervise these designations that are made by the distillers. And in this court's 1973 decision, in Gibson versus Berryhill, it was also found to be a violation of due process to confide the licensing procedure to private members of the industry who were interested in it. This statute clearly interferes with property rights of the respondents. It prohibits them from freely disposing of property to which they have full legal title and which they've purchased without restriction. So there's clearly a violation of due process. There's also a violation of equal protection of the laws because this statute discriminates between two groups, those who are designated and those who are not. Both groups are fully licensed by the state to import. So from the state's point of view, they're functionally indistinguishable. Both groups meet all of the minimum regulatory criteria for the importing of liquor into the state, and yet one group can import and the other can't by virtue of the discretion of a private party. Now, the state court below has already found that there is no regulatory purpose to justify the statute, none. So on that basis, this court can find that there is that the statute fails to pass constitutional muster, even under the rational basis test for equal protection. Now, what we're saying here is that we would like the free market to work in the liquor industry. We want to let Adam Smith into the liquor industry. This statute is, in essence, fair trade through the back door. In the initial denial of designations to the respondents, it was apparent that it would be used to eliminate discounters from the market. The Oklahoma-California trade is exactly the way the free enterprise system is supposed to work, where one seller in a local market is overcharging and someone else can bring in goods from another market and distribute them more efficiently and at a lower cost, he should be allowed to compete. The statute deprives the California consumers of this benefit of the free enterprise system. And moreover, the state court has already found that the state of California has absolutely no regulatory interest in this statute. Thank you.
Do you have anything further, Mr. McDonough?
If I may, just for a moment, Your Honor.
We have 2 minutes remaining.
Thank you, sir. The contention is made that the state court found that this statute has no regulatory purpose. I think that goes beyond what the Court of Appeal did say in California. The court did indicate we are not persuaded, the court said, that the asserted purposes are necessarily accomplished by the statute. The fact of the matter is that the statute obviously serves the purpose of giving governmental support to the vertical allocation of markets. It also does protect California's three-tier system of liquor importation and marketing. There is a tier of the distiller who sells to the wholesaler who sells to the retailer. All of that is very carefully regulated. The Oklahoma connection or any other out-of-state source brings in a fourth tier. California is entitled to preserve the three-tier system. We think the statute falls clearly within the area indicated in Mr. Justice Powell's decision in MidCal of a statute that regulates both importation and the structure of the industry, and therefore that you don't get to a weighing test in a 21st Amendment analysis of this statute. But if you do, let me make the suggestion that the court below did the weighing in this fashion. On the one hand, on the federal side, the court put the entire weight of the majesty of the Sherman Act as a charter of economic freedom, and on the other hand, put a modestly weighed amount of state interest. That really, I think, is not what one does or ought to do and what this court ought to do in the weighing analysis if you get to it. What you have to do is compare the impairment of the federal Sherman Act interest on the one hand with whatever state values are served on the other. And in this kind of a statute, where we're dealing with a statute that gives some collateral support to vertical allocation, which has been held in GTE Sylvania, not to violate the Sherman Act, we're obviously not dealing with a heavy impairment of any Sherman Act interest. If there's an interest to be put on the federal side, it's a relatively light one. And that's the analysis, it seems to me, that must be made. Not put the whole Sherman Act on one side and state interest on the other, but how much does it impair any Sherman Act values here and how many state interests are served there? Both questions are federal questions. Both questions are for this court to resolve. And they should be resolved, we think, by adjusting the balance in favor of the statute if you get to the weighing analysis. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. The case is submitted. We'll hear arguments next.